Well, the Saints will roll out the carpet and see what happens on the field tonight as they take on the Minnesota Vikings. We'll have a preview. The Tigers are one day away from their first preseason scrimmage. We'll find out what's happened through the first 6 days. The same thing with the Raging Cajuns. One former LSU pitcher's on a roll, and Palmieri gets himself another lefty. Yes, indeed. All these stories and more today, Friday, August 9th, 2019.
Jones again with time, corner of the end zone, completes it. Did Fowler get his feet in? Yes, touchdown Giants.
Ball placement. Make a note of it, folks. This kid is putting the ball where only his receiver can get it.
Pitch is hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Another home run for Gio Urshela. Gio Urshela, the most happy fella. No, he's the most happy fella. What he's doing is absolutely amazing.
The 2-1 fly ball, right field. This one's fairly deep. Starting going back at the fence, looking up. It's gone, a home run! Jordy Mercer walks it off. Opposite field, two-run shot.
You gotta like him, right? What a great name, Jordy Mercer. How about that? Hey, everybody. TGIF. Yes, indeed. Friday. And it's a great day. Got a busy, busy show planned for you and yours. How about that trio of first-round quarterbacks that made their debut last night in week one of the NFL preseason? Kyler Murray of the Arizona Cardinals, the Heisman Trophy winner, goes 6-for-7, 44 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, played just one series. His ability to avoid the contact, which he mastered at Oklahoma, he avoided a sack. After pressure got through the offensive line, he rolled out to his right for a clean look at a pass. He looks like he is ready to go, ready to go. For everybody in the New York Giants fandom that chastised the G-men for selecting Daniel Jones out of Duke, well, maybe, just maybe, they may think otherwise. He was 5-for-5 for 67 yards, one touchdown, in one series. Everything he did was really, really good. He looked composed. He looked like he belonged right from the start. 3rd and 7 pass, boom, near the sideline, nailed Benny Fowler in the chest. His accuracy was impressive. What a debut, perfect debut for Jones. And now all the pressure on Eli. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You know, we talked with Frank Schwab, the editor of Shutdown Corner for Yahoo Sports yesterday. I said, who's the worst team in football? He said, Washington Redskins. Yeah, so the strong-arm Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State, their first-round pick, he was 8-for-14, 117, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions in 6 series. What you like about him, he's got a gun. He has got a gun, and he showed off his arm on several occasions. He ran the ball well, 2 rushes for 17 yards, something he did late last year at Ohio State. Helped him elude some trouble against the Cleveland Browns. He needs some work, but why not? He needs time, he needs effort, and they're not going anywhere, so why not play the guy, right? Anyway, the Saints will make their debut tonight. Jeff Duncan of The Athletic will join us here shortly to give his thoughts on this. I don't expect Drew Brees to play. Why? Why would he? If he does, it's going to be one series, but why would he? You got to find out what Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill can do. Are one of those two guys the future leader of the Saints offense when Drew Brees finally hangs it up, whenever he does. 7 o'clock kickoff, Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Great memories against, well, euphoric. You talk about the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. The thrill of victory, the Saints, hell, pigs have flown. Hell is frozen over. The Saints are going to the Super Bowl. They beat Brett Favre and the Minnesota Vikings to get to the Superdome, the Super Bowl, excuse me. And then, of course, the Minneapolis miracle, the agony of defeat that kept the Saints and knocked them out of the playoffs a couple of years ago. So they'll renew this thing tonight. We'll also see Tampa Bay tonight taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So football is upon us. There is no question. There is no doubt about that. When LSU kicks it off against Georgia Southern in 22 days, the quarterback for Georgia Southern with a he called it bird poop on the hood of his car. He was found innocent of any possession of cocaine. The charges have been dropped, and he is good to go. So that's, you know, that is what it is. LSU baseball, Paul Maneri announced that the Tigers have added a left-handed pitcher, Brandon Kaminer, a 6'2", 185-pound southpaw from Wallace Community College in Dothan, Alabama. He will enroll at LSU this month. He'll have 2 years of eligibility remaining. LSU now has three left-handed pitchers on its roster for the upcoming season. Kaminer, true freshman Jacob Hasty, redshirt freshman Easton McMurray. How do you go through a season with no left-handers at all? I know McMurray was hurt, but, man, you got to have them. Now Paul Maneri has them. Speaking of a former Tiger who's on a roll, is there a hotter pitcher in baseball than Aaron Nola? In his last 61 and a third innings pitched, he has a 1.91 ERA. His opponents are batting 173 against him, and he's got 73 strikeouts in his last nine starts. Aaron Nola on a rolla. Yes, indeed. He is something amazing. Zion Williamson is signed with a trading card company called Panini. Never heard of them. But hey, more opportunities to make more money for him. We'll talk with Sonny Shipp of Go247 Sports. LSU will, they had the day off Thursday from practicing in front of the media. That doesn't mean they were off. They were studying, going over tape, getting into the training room, lifting weights, doing all those kind of things. So a little walkthrough practice today, and then their first scrimmage. They'll have three in the next three Saturdays to determine who's going to lock up starting positions, who's going to be the backups, and to get the timing down, and just to have officials out and make it right. Make it right. So we'll go over what we have learned from the first week of LSU preseason camp. We got a busy day, busy show. Yeah, looking forward to it. And we've got, okay, so we got Jeff Duncan coming up in this hour, followed by Sonny Shipp of Go247 Sports. We'll find out the latest on the Raging Cajuns from our good friend, the sports director of KLFY, George Faust. We'll be joined by Associate Athletic Director, Deputy Athletic Director, Virge Osbury in hour number two. We'll talk a little this, a little that with George Becknell, and CD will join me as he always does for Friday 5 of Hot Topics. So, football, here we come. We'll talk Saints, Jeff Duncan of The Athletic. Next Friday edition, the JHS on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. My goodness, over 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, you can't shop right at all, because they've got everything for you. Oh, it's a great place. Just plan on spending some time there. See, I'm a convenience shopper. I need something quick. I go to ShopRite. It's there. The prices are great. It's quick. It's neat. It's clean. It's perfect. ShopRite, Tobacco Plus, discount outlets. We'll be back. Friday edition, the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Oh, well, goodness gracious, for the first time in what seems like forever since we remember how the last season closed, the Saints finally get to get back on the field against a team that they've had the highest of highs against. Hey, pigs have flown. Hell is frozen over. The Saints are going to the Super Bowl to the Minneapolis Miracle. But Jeff Duncan of The Athletic is kind enough to join us. Jeff, good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Jordy, I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. I'm in agreement. I wanted to get your thought with the Saints siding with the NFL's push to kill that no-call lawsuit. It's time to put that in the rearview mirror. It's time to move on, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the logic was behind that. The only thing I can think of is you have an elected judge that's looking to get some political ammunition there. And momentum, and I just think, come on, I mean, it's a bad call. We all agree it's a bad call. The NFL has agreed it's a bad call. There's nothing more to it than that, and I don't know why we want to tie up our court system with such a frivolous lawsuit. They've got way more important things to be dealing with in our courts than a bad call in a game. It would open up a can of worms, and I think the Saints were smart to try to put some pressure politically on the court system to drop it.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. He sure got some recognition, and there's a whole lot of Saints fans that sure do like this guy that proposed this lawsuit. So there's always a method to the madness, but I am in total agreement. I read your article, Jeff Duncan, The Athletic, on Taysom Hill. Why he may be the next Steve Young, possibly. Take me through your background, your storyline, and how you came up with that.
Well, I just think that a lot of people have seen Taysom Hill as a, you know, utility player, special teams player, and I think they've made judgment on his potential long term as a player in the NFL, and I just felt the need to document that the Saints are still very high on him as a quarterback prospect. They do not see him as a finished product at all there. They are investing a lot in trying to improve him and develop some of his skills. But I think what I was really trying to point out with the column today was not only that the Saints are still very, very high on Taysom Hill as a quarterback, but also that you can't look at some of his faults as a player, especially as a quarterback. He's not the most accurate guy, you know, and anybody, Jordy, is going to look going to pale in comparison to Drew Brees. I mean, we're talking about the most accurate quarterback in the history of the NFL. So even Teddy Bridgewater or Taysom Hill is going to pale in comparison to him as in terms of accuracy. But instead of that, I think you need to look at the strengths of Taysom Hill as a runner, the guy that can get outside of the pocket, that can make things happen with his legs, and understands the Saints' offense isn't necessarily just the offense you've seen for the last 13 years with Drew Brees. This offense is tailored to him and his skill set. And if he were injured tomorrow, heaven forbid, that offense is like a big amoeba. It would change and form to the host that is operating it. And it would be a much different looking offense with Taysom Hill at quarterback than it is with Drew Brees. And I think a lot of people are looking at it and say, well, he can't complete this throw or that throw. Well, he's trying to make do in this offense that really isn't tailored to his skill set, and it would change dramatically if he became the quarterback. I think that's more than anything else what I want to try to emphasize.
That is a great point. No question about that. Let me ask you, though, is the Saints quarterback of the future on this roster right now when Drew Brees retires?
Well, I think if Drew Brees stepped down after this season or moved on or whatever happened, I think they would have an open competition between Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill. And I think they'd bring in someone else to compete. I don't think it's a done deal that it's Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think it's for sure that Taysom Hill is the guy or can be the guy, but I think it would be a competition, and I think the Saints would want to see those two guys go head-to-head, and I think then they would also make a decision maybe by drafting a young quarterback in the draft. I don't think they know yet, but I think that they are both higher on both of these guys potentially than a lot of fans are right now.
Jeff Duncan, the Athletic, Saints ready to hit somebody else, as is every team now, but on the eve of the preseason opener tonight, the Saints waived running back Matthew Days and signed running back Kerwin Williams. Tell me why that happens, and what should we read into that, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, I don't think it's anything different than what we've seen throughout camp, and that is the Saints are trying to churn their depth chart behind their top two guys, behind Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray. They're looking for veteran help there. They would like to see someone step forward as a third running back, because I think it's just a contingency plan, to be honest with you, Jordy. I think they're saying, hey, this is a collision position. Last year we had the past two years we've had the luxury of having Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara there, and we had two lead backs. Now what happens if, for instance, Alvin Kamara goes down? Can they survive with just Latavius Murray? I think they don't feel very comfortable about that and would much prefer having some depth there in a platoon type of situation with maybe Murray and another back. So I think they're just doing their due diligence. I get smart.
Okay. You know, and maybe I'm wrong here, but it seemed like every year for forever, the Saints would be bringing in kickers left and right. I haven't heard peep out of any kickers in camp other than Will Lutz and Thomas Morstead. And that's kind of that doesn't happen under Sean Payton, but it kind of shows you that maybe that tandem might be the best in the league.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the Saints' kicking game is off the charts. That's one area you don't have to worry about if you're a Saints fan. They are they don't even bring competition into camp. I asked Thomas Morstead the other day about it. He said, he has not had another punter in camp in a decade. You know, they just have it. And I think their coverage teams really improved a year ago, and I really believe that if they can solve their return issues, they could have the best special teams units that they've ever had here. And that's always been an area that they've kind of been in the middle of the pack, Jordy. So I think it's a huge advantage for them in these close games that they're likely to play this year. Having that strong special teams.
Jeff Duncan of the Athletic, Saints Vikings, 7 o'clock tonight, preseason game number one in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. We talked about Teddy Bridgewater. I think everybody wants to see what he and Taysom Hill can do. We talked about who's going to step up at the running back a little bit. Wide receiver is another position, all right? And, boy, there's some battles on the offensive line as far as depth is concerned. Will Clapp, I hadn't heard much about him, the former LSU Tiger. Is he in jeopardy? I mean, he made the team a year ago, but it seems to be a lot more competition there this year.
Yeah, they still like Will Clapp, and he's still eligible for the practice squad. So if he were to not make the active roster, I think they would want to keep him around in some capacity. But there's such good depth now along the interior line, and the fact that the Saints went out in the offseason and brought in not one, but two center guard prospects, drafted Eric McCoy, signed Nick Easton, trying to replace Max Unger. That's kind of created a little logjam there in the middle of the line. And I think Will Clapp, is caught up in that numbers game right now. You never know what's going to happen, though. There could be injuries. Guys could be traded. So I wouldn't say that there's anything definitive at that position, but the Saints do have good depth there and more than likely are going to have to cut a very good player along the interior line that can play on another NFL roster. I think the Saints would love to get Will Clapp back if they were to release him, but it may be another team that comes after him and puts him on the active roster.
Wow. Great memories with the Vikings, right? I talked about it earlier, the game that they kicked the field goal to get to the Super Bowl, and then, of course, the heartbreak a couple of years later in Minneapolis. Great storylines for this.
Yeah, and Mike Zimmer, the head coach of the Vikings, and Sean Payton are very close friends. They coached on the Dallas Cowboys staff together. They think a lot alike in terms of what they look for in personnel. So that's why you see so many former Vikings on the Saints roster. I think Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer like the same type of player. And if you look at the Saints roster right now, they've got Latavius Murray, Teddy Bridgewater. I'm trying to think who else they have. They have about four guys, Marcus Sherrill, the punt returner,
right,
former Viking. Nick Easton, they signed in the offseason as a former Viking. A lot of guys with ties to both organizations. And in, of course, Minnesota, you've got a couple of former LSU players up there, Tayshaun Bowers. I don't know if he's going to play. He's been injured. But Danielle Hunter, of course, former LSU standout, signed a huge contract in the offseason.
Yeah.
He's one of the top young defensive ends in the league. So there's a lot of things to watch in addition to the actual game. You can watch some individual performances.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. We'll it'll be live and in living color starting at 7 o'clock. We'll find out. I've always said this. There's guys that practice really good, and then there's the guys that play really good. I like the guys that do the latter rather than the former, and that's why they turn the lights on and they have officials and they keep score. So we'll see who steps up and who kind of takes a step back. But you can read all about it with Jeff Duncan at The Athletic. Enjoy the ball game. How's the food in the dome now for you guys? Have they stepped that up a little bit?
I may have to plead the fifth on that, Jordy. We may have to have a whole other segment on the food options in the Superdome for the media, because it's for such a great food city that we live in. We might have the worst food concessions in the league.
Brutal.
We need to talk about that. Industry standard, we are not right now.
Okay, we will talk about that on another day. Enjoy the ball game. Talk to you soon, my friend. Thank you.
All right, Jordy. Have a great weekend.
You too, my friend. Take care. That's the Saints side of things. When we come back, Sonny Shipp, Go247 Sports will join us. We'll talk about 1 week down in Tiger Town. What are the big storylines he's hearing and seeing? Next, here on the Jordy Helpert Show.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Humpert Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. It's time to get the LSU perspective of things. And on the seventh day, the Tigers rested. They had no practice yesterday. Back in the fray today, their first preseason game scrimmage coming up on Saturday. Sonny Shipp has been there, done that with Go247 Sports, and Sonny's here to kind of give us the biggest storylines from week one of camp. Good afternoon, Sonny. How are you?
Good. How's it going, Jordy?
Everything's great, man. I can't thank you enough for your time. So
always,
let's go over these storylines. What have you seen so far?
Well, the media gets very limited time. You basically get to see the individual drills. So as far as what we've really seen, I think you've seen a team, and when I say this, some people are probably going to think I'm crazy, but I've seen a team that looks that physically, when you look at them, they look in shape. You know, they guys who needed to lose weight, like Tyler Shelvin, Siaki Ika, the two big nose tackles. Sadiq Charles is another one. Even Austin Deculus has shed a little bit of pounds around the midsection, it looks like. So when you look at when you look at the guys who needed to trim weight or add weight, they look really good from that standpoint. Now on the flip side, I know that it's been mentioned a lot about you know, about the number of guys and who's been missing practice and things like that. But I don't think that has, you know, I don't think, and from talking to sources, I don't think that really has much to do with their conditioning level. That is just more of a case of trying to balance out fall camp to where they can, you know, if there's guys who have been there, who have done that, they know what they can do. They're trying to save their legs for later on in camp. So, you know, but that's really the thing that I've gotten the most so far, is that just guys look really in shape.
Sonny Ship, go 247 Sports. Joe Brady, making an impression already, isn't he?
Yeah, and you know, when you see him out on the practice fields, he's not one of these loud, boisterous coaches who's screaming expletive after expletive. But he's a guy who you can tell that the player, that when he does speak, the players listen to him. He has their respect. And I think that they know that the guy knows what he's talking about, what he's trying to implement, they really feel is going to work. And, you know, I've been impressed with him. When you watch him work with the receivers, when you watch him work with Steve Ensminger in the passing game, he's very methodical, and he places a strong emphasis on guys doing every little thing right. Kind of reminds you of Jerry Sullivan in that aspect. You know, Jerry Sullivan was such a technician, and he just really harped on every little thing about the process. You know, Joe Brady is similar to that. Not as, you know, I don't think he's as much of the technician guru as Sullivan was, which is to be expected since one of them has about 5 years of coaching, the other one has about 65 years of coaching. But Joe Brady, very impressed with what he does on the practice field. And I know that from talking to people who see things behind closed doors, they say that the offense is looking really good. Usually at this time, you know, we're talking about the defense being ahead of the offense, but I'm hearing that it's the opposite right now. And even, you know, Ed Orgeron has talked about the offensive line and some of the improvements that it's made. And, you know, from talking to people, they say that it's not just camp talk.
Sonny Ship, go 247 Sports. He's got those little birdies behind the scenes that's giving him information. But are we selling Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Stephon Sullivan shortly? I mean, they seem to be getting a lot of notoriety from the coaching staff. They keep being emphasized. The 6'5 Sullivan, Edwards-Helaire is your most veteran running back. Do you feel like they are destined for significant roles this season?
I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, there's a lot of talk about the true freshman running backs, John Emery, Tyrion Davis Price. Everybody wants to see these two young guys get into the lineup and see what they can do. But I think it's going to be hard to knock Clyde Edwards-Helaire, off of that pedestal that he's on right now. He looks to be in really good shape. And you can see him taking on more of a leadership role with his offense. He's in his junior season. And you can just tell how he's encouraging the young guys. He's talking to the young guys about telling them what they're doing. You know, there was a case to where at the Wednesday practice, one of the cameramen for one of the local news stations was getting a little too close to the play call sheet that they were signaling it in, and Clyde walked over real politely, mm-hmm. you know, but emphatically, and said, please don't take pictures of the play sheet. And when that happened right there, I was like, okay, that's a you know, that's a little leadership right there. But the look that he had on his face was like, are you kidding me? You know?
No, my goodness gracious. Sonny Ship, go 247 Sports. Kind enough to join us. We know about Joe Burrow and what he meant to this ball club a year ago. It's clearly his team. But how does the future of the quarterback position look behind him?
You know, I've heard good things. I've heard good things about Miles Brennan. You know, the when we're talking about guys who needed to add weight or who needed to drop weight, obviously Miles Brennan was one of those who needed to add some weight. He's added some. He's probably another year away from being where you want him physically, as far as sustaining that you know, that 12 game schedule, that SEC slate, getting hit, mm-hmm. you know, 25 to 35 times in a season or whatever. But I think he's I think he's getting there. The good thing is that he has another year before he needs to be there. But I do think that you're gonna, I do expect to see him a lot more this year than you saw him last year, because Ed Orgeron knows that now's the time to give him some of those meaningful snaps when you're on the road against an Ole Miss or a Mississippi State. Hopefully you have a lead going into the fourth quarter and you let him get his feet wet on the road in those hostile environments, because you know it's going to help him come 2020.
No question. Sonny Shipp, very good. Very well put from 247 Sports. What are your expectations for this team this year?
Oh man, we've seen a lot of 10-2 predictions. We've seen a lot of, I believe it was Athlon Sports that predicted LSU was going to go 12-0 during the regular season. I think they're probably somewhere in that realm. To me, if they lose to Texas at Texas, which, I don't think that is going to be an easy game by any means. You talk about a top 10 team on the road, and you know it's going to be a hostile environment. It's going to be hot as all heck out there. I'm sure the humidity is going to, it's just going to be a tough game. Yeah. But if they do lose that game, I don't think the season's over by any means, and I don't think their championship aspirations are over by any means either. But, if you ask me right now, I picked LSU over Texas in our summer preview. Hearing a lot of good things about the Texas defense. I'm not sure if it's just camp talk or if it's, legit. So I'm anxious to see that. But I think this team has everything in the cards for an 11-1 season. Obviously going to Alabama is going to be a tough one. That's always a tough one. But if there's ever been a year that LSU can go to Tuscaloosa, match up on both sides of the ball, firepower for firepower, and then also have the coaches on the sideline to be able to, to make the changes and to adapt as they need to go, I think they have that. Steve Ensminger, you give him a full year of calling the offense. He's going to have Joe Brady by his side now. You've got two good offensive minds looking and seeing and dissecting things. I think that this is a year that LSU matches up against them as well, as good as they have in quite some time.
Hey, it's Sonny Shipp. Go 247 Sports. Who's that? We all talk about Stingley as being that freshman impactful player from the get-go. Is there another one in your mind that you feel like is going to be like, wow, what a player, what a pickup he was?
Yeah, I think the two running backs, I think John Emery and I think Tyrion Davis-Price, I think both of those guys are going to have their moments. But there's another guy, redshirt freshman Jarrell Cherry. I think he's a guy that, he came in at 225. We saw him last year at fall camp, and, he was light in the pants and the type of guy where you said, okay, he really needs to put on some weight. Well, he didn't just put on weight to play the outside linebacker position. He's up to almost 280 now. So now you're talking about a guy who can now give you some reps on the defensive line, and especially if Sony Finua, if he has to take an academic redshirt this year, that's going to be really big to have Jarrell Cherry at that weight and in that mold. And so I think he's a guy that if he can get the technical side of things down, I think he's a guy that could surprise you by the time that November stretch gets here and you give him some games of getting used to playing in the trenches in the SEC.
Sonny Shipp, he'll have his ear to the ground, and he'll get some information from Saturday scrimmage. I guarantee you that. It's a dead period recruiting-wise, but Boy, they're really racking up so far here and they here and now. We got a couple of new commitments that will make their announcements later on this month, so they could have this thing wrapped up pretty quickly, and that would be quite a feather in their cap. But Sonny, thank you so much for your time, man. And boy, I think if they stay healthy and they get a break here or there, this could be one of those special seasons. So it'll be fun to watch.
I'm with you on that, my man. I'm with you on that.
Have a great weekend, Sonny. Thank you.
You too, Jordy. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Take care. Sonny Ship, go, GEAUX, 247 Sports. They never sleep. We've heard from the Saints. We've heard from the Tigers. It's time to give our love to the Raging Cajuns. George Faust will join us next here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
Who's got game and who's the next big thing at LSU? Jordy Hultberg will set you straight on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
And we welcome you back here to set us straight on everything going on with the Raging Cajuns, a man that wears makeup and does a great job while doing so, the sports director at KLFY. It's been too long, George Faust. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jordy. It's been a while. But, yeah, no, hey, you got to wear the makeup, man. You got to look pretty, you know?
Yeah. Those HD cameras are brutal if you don't. I absolutely been there, done that, and I got the postcard right to prove it. So year two under Billy Napier, what have you noticed is the biggest difference, not only in he as a coach, but the players around him with that air of familiarity now?
Absolutely. Yeah, look, the biggest thing, I had a chance to ask a lot of the players that very question, and I think for them now it's not so much having to worry about what he's expecting or what the coaching staff's expecting, and when you're out on the field you're thinking, oh, am I in the right spot? Am I doing this right? For them now it's, hey, I can react to what happens on the field, and I know I'm in the right place. And that was each player told me, you know, hey, look, that's the biggest difference, because now we're going to be a little bit faster. We were pretty good last year. We got to the Sun Belt Championship game. We were good. But now we can take that a half step up or maybe even more than that, because we're not going to have to think as much when we're out on the field. We can just react.
Did they win too much, too early? I mean, you get to the first conference championship game. I know they didn't win at all, but did they win too much too early?
I think there's a ton. I think if Coach Napier had that question posed to him, I think the way he would answer it is there's always things you can work on and improve on. I don't think they won too early. I think it's kind of a case of nobody was looking at you, and so you snuck up on people.
Right.
Now everybody picked you to win the West in the Sun Belt, and now you have the target on your back. And the players welcome that because they know that they can get better. And so if they get better and they play at a high level, other teams in the Sun Belt are going to have a hard time matching their intensity, is how they view it.
George Faust, sports director, KLFY, kind enough to join us talking about the Raging Cajuns. They open up, of course, in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome against Mississippi State. We all know the running back position, that three-headed monster, is the strength, the bell cow of this club. What's the second best position group on this team?
A couple of hours ago, I just asked Billy Napier almost that exact question. I had a chance we're doing a little feature on the offensive line, and when you talk to guys on the offensive line, the funny thing is those guys have they're back. There's five of them that are back from a year ago. They've got significant playing time. Guys like Kevin Dotson and Shane Vallee is at center, and those guys right there are the anchors of that offensive line. But it was funny because Kevin told me, he's like, look, you know, we go out to eat together. We go everywhere together. We do everything together. And, you know, that offensive line group, I think, mm-hmm. is going to be key, obviously, for those guys running behind him, but to keep Levi Lewis or whoever's the quarterback upright, that offensive line is going to be quite important. And the fact that they have a year under their belt with a lot of snaps together, I think bodes well for the running game and protection-wise for the quarterback.
George, look, with that type of talent in the backfield, smart coaches, smart teams are going to load the box, and they're going to see what Levi Lewis can do. What can he do, and who can he do it to when you got to throw it?
Yeah. Look, the best thing about the thing that I like about Levi is the fact that he's very mobile, too. He can escape. Kind of reminds you of a guy. I mean, he's not as quick as this guy I'm going to compare him to, but a guy that he reminds me because he's left-handed, Michael Vick type guy, just because he's able to Whoa. Maneuver and he's not as fast. I mean, look, Michael Vick was the cream of the crop. You know, I get that, but what I'm saying is he has those tendencies, you know? And so he has the ability to uh-huh. kind of escape uh-huh. and when he does need to throw the ball, Bam Jackson, he's a guy that's going to be probably featured pretty a lot this year, just because he had such a great year. I remember last year he made an unbelievable one-handed catch in the end zone. It was a phenomenal play, and from then on, the guy consistently performed in the biggest, you know, in the games, at big moments in games. He consistently mm-hmm. made plays. So I like Bam Jackson at the wide receiver spot. He's probably their number one guy right now at the wide receiver spot. And then Levi has the ability. I watching him at camp, I was at camp just 2 days ago, just watching him kind of keeping my eye mm-hmm. on how well his throws are crisp. I mean, he has a command, and Coach Napier likes the fact that he's kind of taken ownership of that team, so to speak, with regards to, hey, you know, last year I got to play in one or two series, you know, a game. Now this is my team. I'm taking it over. And I think Coach Napier likes that from him, and you can see that confidence building in him as well.
I'm with you. George Faust, KLFY Sports Director. I love the direction the Raging Cajuns are going in. I hated that they would go play at Alabama and go play at wherever, at Texas A&M, just to get the money. And it's demoralizing to your team to get beat like that. And it's tough. I like the way they're scheduling now. I think it's much more doable. And they're trying to advance and get into some bigger and better bowl games. So I love the direction they're going in. Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. Those games are the necessary evil, right? I mean, that's the part of college football that's we hadn't had a chance to kind of figure out when the mid majors have to go play big schools and you know the Power Fives or whatever. I like what they're doing this year for sure. I love the fact that they're going to play Mississippi State in New Orleans. I'm looking forward to
neutral.
Being at that game.
Yeah,
neutral. And look, Mississippi State will bring some fans down, and we know Cajun fans love going to New Orleans. That we've seen that in the past.
Yes.
And the fact that it's the first game of the year, I think there's going to be a lot more. Like if this game was like, you know, weeks 5 or 6 or something like that, I don't think the buzz would be as big, because you know by then you're kind of into football season. Fans kind of get used to it. And then who knows what their record will be at that point. Right off the gate, though, you're going to get all that excitement, and they're going to travel. They're going to go to New Orleans and pack the dome, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know if they'll beat Mississippi State, but I think if there was a team that could go do it, Mississippi State seems like they're kind of down a little bit. You know, they got a couple of transfer mm-hmm. quarterbacks. They got a transfer quarterback, but the fruit might be ripe for the picking, so to speak, in that game, and maybe catch Mississippi State off guard a little bit, not expecting the Cajuns to be as good as disciplined as they are.
Man, I got to get you on more often. That's shame on me, but I know you got a show to get ready for. You got to get the rundown. You got to get the video shot. You got to get it edited. It's a busy day. Your life. I understand. It's that time. High school football, big. The Saints, yeah. The Tigers, the Cajuns. George, thank you, my friend. Thank you. Let's do it again.
Hey, sounds good. Anytime, man. Just let me know. I'll do my best to get on with you.
You got it, brother. We appreciate it. That's George Faust, sports director, KLFY, with the Cajuns. So we had the Saints, the Tigers, the Cajuns. We got to get some hot topics. That's up to CD. Who knows where he's taking me? That's when we start hour number two next.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown,
streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg. It's Friday. That means we get you ready for the weekend ahead with five.
One, two, three, four, five.
Big questions headed into your weekend. Now let's get it going with your Friday 5 edition of Hot Topics.
Yes, indeed. Starting off hour number two with a bang, CD. Let's get busy.
Let's get busy indeed. Jordy, and of course, the NFL preseason. It is getting kickstarted this weekend in full swing. Obviously, a lot of games last night, including Greedy Williams getting a nice interception off of Dwayne Haskins. Out of all the quarterbacks that made their unofficial debut last night, he seemed the guy that underperformed the most. But just looking at Greedy Williams, having that first preseason interception, definitely a step in the right direction for him.
Goes up against Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. He's going to get better each and every day. Might be the steal of the draft, Greedy Williams with the Cleveland Browns. And what about Russell Shepard? Remember him from back in the day?
Yeah.
That dual threat, number one ranked quarterback in the country that goes to LSU. He's been in the league 7 years now.
It's
7 years,
Jordy.
And he caught a pass and ran it in the house, 52 yards for the Giants. Go ahead. Tigers representing.
Exactly, Jordy. Tigers represent. You brought up the New York Giants. We might as well talk about that as well because, my goodness, Jordy, Daniel Jones, 5 for 5 on the opening drive for those G-men. Jordy, is this too soon to start crowning him as a starting quarterback, or do we have to wait basically until next week when they take on the Bears?
Yeah. Let's wait and see what he does against starting NFL players. That's the difference. A lot of these players have already earned their stripes. They're not going to be playing in these worthless, senseless preseason games. So let's see what happens when they really play for keeps, and that'll make a whole different story when they game plan and do all those type of things.
And Jordy, I think we need to also talk a little bit about. I want to jump over to tonight's game. And that is the New Orleans Saints, Minnesota Vikings. Of course, you talk about it's a relatively meaningless preseason game. But just in terms of the rookies and the undrafted free agents, everybody that's in there, Jordy, who are you most looking forward to seeing play in this evening's matchup?
I want to see those two safeties, Hampton and the guy with four names from the Florida Gators, Gardner Johnson.
Chauncey Gardner Johnson.
I want to see those guys and what kind of an impact. Yeah, I want to see those guys and see what kind of impact they make on the defensive side of the ball because you can never have enough of those guys. And I've said it forever and a day, if the Saints could just have a defense in the top 12 to 15 with the way the offense plays, that's a team that contends for a Super Bowl. This might be Dennis Allen's best defense he's had since he's been the defensive coordinator. We shall see. But I want to watch those guys. Who do you want to see?
You know, I guess it's just because of the fact that it definitely has an SEC slant. He's a guy that I am definitely hyped about, Jordy. But it's got to be Eric McCoy, without a doubt. I want to see what he is able to do and how long he plays for. Because, Jordy, like this is a guy right here, right now, I'd pretty much be able to invest in him being the starting center week one against the Houston Texans right off the gate. Like, whenever he was drafted, I'm like, this dude's your starter. But I want to really see what he can do against NFL teams because, again, you're playing the SEC, where it's definitely very much similar to what the NFL does, definitely 10 yards in a cloud of dust. So definitely going to be interesting to see what happens on that aspect, Jordy. But hopping over, I think we need to talk about what's going on with the Oakland Raiders and Antonio Brown, who has been MIA. In fact, Pittsburgh Radio was actually saying he is nowhere to be found. But, Jordy, apparently he's filed a grievance against the NFL. And it's all about the helmet that he's wearing, not about his frostbite on his foot. It's about the helmet that he can wear during training camp. He's expected to be back next week, but this is the most ridiculous, most diva-type thing I've ever heard. Why are the cameras not on him all throughout Hard Knocks?
I'm so tired of Antonio Brown. Oh my gosh. I mean, look, he makes a living with his feet. All right? He makes a living with that. So you go into a cryotherapy chamber, you got to listen to what the people tell you to do. He seems like he is immeasurable against anything. And so a guy that makes his money with his feet, he's got frostbite on his feet. How's he come back anytime soon? Did you see? Those are the ugliest feet I've ever seen.
Yeah, that, I mean, they're
ugly. I'm tired of Antonio Brown. No.
I'm kind of the same way, Jordy, getting tired of his antics. But, you know, it definitely has a lot of things going on with him. On the field, off the field, on his helmet, off of his helmet. It's all over the place with him, Jordy. But honestly, I wound up getting hyped up about this, Jordy, with the world of boxing. A big announcement with the rematch set for December, Jordy. Anthony Joshua and Ruiz Jr., the rematch set up. You got the big boy. And you got Anthony Joshua trying to redeem himself after that awful outing.
Yeah, well, he needs to make amends for his lack of performance last time. But did you see, speaking of boxing, did you see who Nick Saban had address his team?
Tyson.
This week? Mike Tyson, Iron Mike. That's awesome. That's awesome. Saban always does that kind of stuff. So good for him. Good for Mike Tyson. I don't know how much he got paid, but I know he did. There's your Hot Topics, your Friday Five here on the Jordy Helper Show, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Do yourself a flavor. Bring a small bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go. Everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. Back with more on the Jordy Helper Show.
In the game.
Well, on this Friday, it's been quite a busy week at LSU. First, the ribbon-cutting ceremonies for their renovation of the Football Operations Center, and then the game plan for the distribution of beer and wine in Tiger Stadium. So I thought it would be a perfect time to talk with the Executive Deputy Athletic Director and the Executive Director of External Relations, my good friend Virg Osberry. 17 years in the administrative business of LSU Athletics. And Virg, it's great to have you, buddy. How are you?
Doing great, Jordy. Appreciate being on.
17 years. Can you remember what it was like 17 years ago and now what the campus that we know and love in the athletic department has turned into? It's kind of amazing.
Jordy, 17 years ago, the whole university, what it looked like to what it looked like today, you know, with the new dormitories on campus, athletic facilities on campus, new buildings on campus, everything LSU has transpired over the last few years, it's just been great.
People don't realize you were a heck of a football player. You led LSU in tackles for two consecutive seasons. You went to four bowl games. You didn't have any sleep pods, but, boy, they have them now. Take me through the concept of this is all about the players and using and utilizing their time to the fullest is my concept of why these renovations took place.
Jordy, you remember when we were in school, we slept on wooden benches pretty much at our rest. And like, right. I tried to tell Coach Nader they owe us back pay for this. No, but you know, we do things now. You know, science has improved and technology has improved the world we live in. And we try to do what's best for the student athletes. And they as well, all of those things, the student health and well-being and nutrition and strength and conditioning and treatment and training room. In rest, all of that support about being an elite athlete now at college. And that's who we recruited against, those type of programs that we recruited against, and those kind of teams, you know, we want to be in that top tier. And at LSU, you know, our motto, and that's why we won so much from 2000 up until now. And every year, you know, we've been in bowl games every year and compete for SEC championships and national championships. That LSU, whatever we do, we want to be the best at it. And when we talk about this facility and the nutrition center that feeds all of our student-athletes, when you walk in that part of it, the options they have for all athletes, some people need to gain weight, some people need to lose, some people need to maintain their weight. And we have a nutritionist working with our athletes to make sure what goes in their body is appropriate. You know, the sleeping pod is just a part of it. That's where a young man could go in the locker room between practices and lay down, relax. The Tyron Matthew game room. Another place you can go and relax, the lounge area. So we want to give them all the options they could have so they could be successful here at LSU.
Virge Osberry, kind enough to join us. You are the Executive Director of External Relations. I've never seen a topic draw such a line in the sand with all the privately raised money for this renovation, and then you had the backlash from other sides against it. To me, and you tell me, to me, this, I think it's going to end up benefiting those others in the long run because it's drawn attention to maybe some of the aspects that they have let slip under the table a little bit. So if those are complaining about the library, well, they can go out and raise the money. I think it's drawn attention to that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Joey, I don't care that way. You know, everybody has different opinions in life about everything. Everything you do, there's a big opinion about it. This is America, and that's great that people have different opinions. And look, we're an athletic department. We understand that without the university, it wouldn't be an athletic department. And we're here at LSU to support the university, just like the athletic department. Over, you know, last 10 years, Jordy, the LSU athletic department has given the university over $100 million. We also support the band. The whole band is ours, $1.8 million, where most schools the band split the cost. We've done a lot. The band hall on this campus, we've done a lot in the athletic department to help the university, which we should do. We'll continue to do that. That's what we're supposed to do, Jordy, help the university, help the institution in whatever way we can. So people have opinions. Look, I don't pay attention to that stuff. We do the best that we need to do and where we at LSU to help LSU at that time. And we move on. We don't go back. No question. I don't go back and get into it. And look, the faculty here, we appreciate the faculty here. They do a great job. They do a great job of teaching at LSU. And we support LSU. We're one. We're not separated in athletics and the university side.
I think what people don't understand is the athletic department is its own separate entity. It takes no money from the academic side of things. It runs its own business. But yet, as you said, it certainly gives back to the other side as one, and that's terrific. And that's what, you know, when the athletic department's successful and football's successful, enrollment goes up. It just all works hand in hand, and it's all good. The other story of the week, much it was inevitable. It was a fact. It was just a question of how LSU was going to implement the selling of beer and wine at football games. And, man, that is a huge undertaking that I'm sure you're well aware of.
Yes. You know, we've been meeting with people throughout the state, ATC and others, to make sure that we have everything in place for the first game. It's a long process, Jordy, and how we get it set up. And it's something else where I think it's going to go well. You know, people say, well, you know, we're going to cause problems in stadiums. Just to show us, wherever there's professional stadiums and other stadiums where they sell alcohol, they have less problems than they do where they don't. But people are not binge drinking trying to get into the stadium before the game. So we think this is going to work well for us. It'd be good for our fans. And, Jordy, this is all about the new wave of fan experience. You know, what we're doing for our fans so they can come to the game, enjoy the game. And, you know, I don't think fans would come watch a football game and just get sloppy drunk. I just don't believe that. And so I think this is going to work well for our fan base. And, you know, we vote on it. We give every school their option to do what they needed to do. Some wanted to to wait a year. Some want to do it in the end, and some might not do it. But I think that's all we want to do, to have the option to do that and to sell in Tiger Stadium. And it's just the way you look at the statistics and numbers in football, they've been dropping every year. And so we have to do certain things, different things, to keep that fan there, keep the fan there throughout the whole game.
And now, call me crazy, but before people did do all that binge drinking, they would come into the game, and by halftime, it would wear off, and so they would go out and go to their cars, and they would leave. Now, maybe they don't do the binging. Maybe they're you know, wise about how they do it, but they can keep that going through the course of the game. It's I've never been to a game with a buzz on. I've never done that. I know you haven't either.
Yeah. No, so I've had time to do that, Jordan. I've had time to drink in a long time. But yeah, you know, that's all part of the fan experience. You're talking about those things. We do additions, the shoot. You're talking about parking and traffic and things of that nature and concession stands. You know, that's our job, to upgrade all of those areas and to make sure that when our fans come to the LSU game, it's just not coming to a game. It's coming to an event, and that they're pleased when they walk in. And when you leave that game, that's an experience that they have, their family members, their children, their clients, whatever they bring to the game. It's an experience where they'd be like, wow, you know, something I want to go back to. It's something we really enjoy. It's something that's a part of us.
You have had a lifetime of a career at LSU. You played there. You served in the athletic department in every role imaginable, compliance, the academic center. You were a part of the Tiger Athletic Foundation. You've dealt with corporate relations, marketing, game management. I mean, you've done it all. And what a success story you have been. Not to toot your horn a little bit, but what a success story you have been. Is this something that you thought about when you were playing? This is what you wanted to do?
Jordan, no, I had no idea what I would do after I finished playing. And it just, the opportunities presented themselves, and I take advantage of opportunities, and it's been a great career. You know, one thing I tell people, it's not about me. It's about LSU. Like, you play for Coach Brown, there's those letters on the front that matters. So what we do to make LSU the best it could be. And every day I go to work, that's what I do. It's not about Virge, Osbury, or any specific player. No player is bigger than LSU, no athlete.
No doubt.
So what we do here is not only for the athletes coming in right now, but athletes in the future. That we're doing what's right to make sure that, you know, all of LSU, not only LSU Athletic Department, but the university. When I do things, it's how we can use LSU's brand in a positive way. And that's what we stand for at LSU.
Virge, how has the transition been? Has Scott, our athletic director, I know he hit the ground running. Has he got himself reacclimated to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, LSU quickly?
Well, that wasn't a problem. You know, Scott has a fishing camp here in Louisiana a lot, even when he was gone. Scott's not a great friend, so it's been an easy transition for us and working together. And, you know, remember, Scott was here when in the glory days. We hired Mark Emmett was here, and we hired when the run started here for us. We hired First Coast Saban and the rest of the coaches. He's been a part of that, so he knows what it's about. He's very fit. He knows the people here. His parents still live here. So, you know, this was a great transition. It's just coming back home and start back when we started in those years of 2000, the whole group of us. You know, that was a great group. You had Scott.
No doubt.
You had myself. You had Dan Radakovich, who's AD at Clemson right now. You had Herb Benson at the SEC headquarters. You had Chris Howell, who had NCA. You had Eddie Nunez, who's AD9 in New Mexico. I mean, you brought Mark Ewing over, Bo Boston still there, Miriam, and Judy Souther from Texas Women. So it was an all-star cast we had up there, and I'm like administrators throughout the country. And Scott was part of putting all that together. And you had Skip Bergman, the great one, who was AD. And Skip knew how to handle coaches. Skip knew how to handle people and fans and the fan experience. Skip was big in that. That's why we won. We all pulled in the same direction. I think that's what we got to put back here at LSU, where there's a lot of excitement right now at LSU. You know, there's things are going right. It's like there's a momentum going out there, building up.
Mm-hmm.
Building up to the football season, the basketball. You know, Coach Paul Maneri, you know, he's going to be okay next year. Another great team, track and field. Just everything you see LSU in as a positive light. And that's kind of where we're going to be.
Yeah, it's awesome across the board. There's no question about that. Amongst all your myriad of job descriptions, are you still in charge of football scheduling?
Yes, football, football and basketball, life and sport, and manage the day-to-day operations of the athletic department. Yes, I'll still be doing that, and my external part still be helping institution and government relations, state, federal, local, making sure that LSU is getting their due. But that's what we're here for, to help any way we can. And it's a great tie-in for athletics and governmental relations and making sure that we're doing what's best for the institution.
So tell me, is it that much better than the old Broussard Hall dining table? Come on. I mean, those are great days.
I bring you on a tour. Now, I'll tell you this here. Some of the same cooks are still there. Miss Thomas, Miss Mosley.
Really?
Was still there, yes. Yes, George, this is when you played. So they've been there 37 years. And so the food is still the same. You know, you have this type of building you want to have, but the food's bad, it doesn't make a difference, Jordy.
That's
so,
right.
So that's what we told them. You're building this Taj Mahal. That's great. But the cooks back there and the food that's coming out need to be the best.
All right, well. I want to be invited to lunch and go with you one day. I want to see it and see if see if that food still tastes the same.
You'll gain some pounds on that, Jordy.
I don't need to do that. Look, I greatly appreciate the time. It's been a very, very busy week, but now it's time to hunker down. It's time to get ready for football season. We're 30-something days away from it. I can't believe how quickly it's coming. It could be a remarkable season. At least we hope so. And thanks for being in the leadership role that you are, and thanks for your time, my friend. I don't know how you appreciate do all the things you do, but keep it up.
Enjoy all the work at LSU, Jordy. Thank you.
All right, buddy. You take care. Virg Osberry, Executive Deputy Athletic Director, Executive Director of External Relations. Not bad for a kid from New Iberia. So you know him. He was a star in high school. He was a star at LSU. And now he's a star in the administrative world of high-profile college athletics. And it is a multi-million dollar business, to say the very, very least. So, New Iberians, you should be proud of Virg Osberry. He has done you well. That brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. You know, they're such a well-run business. There are over 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana, providing you with everything you need to make your days and nights go by easily, with all the product that you could ever imagine and need, with specials each and every day across the board. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, you just can't shop right at all. We'll be back to wrap up our number one next.
It's on the south side, top of 5-2-0 Oakland. Homers for...
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Friday, so that means you know who is in the house. My good friend George Becknell. By George, how are you, buddy? What's up?
Jordy, I'm fantastic, bro. How are you?
I'm good. You had a little preseason football last night. You're starting to get the juices going a little. You ready?
Oh, Jordy, I'm ready. I'm ready to come out the tunnel, brother. Like, I'm excited.
Which one of those rookie quarterbacks had the best night? Kyler Murray, Jones, or Haskins? I mean, they all look pretty good to me.
I mean, they all look pretty good. I got a chance to watch Jones, and I was extremely critical on the Giants for picking Jones, but even like, you know, if we go judge by the first game, he looked like a guy who could come up and run an offense and be a solid quarterback in this league for years to come.
I agree.
But a little side note in that game, shout out to LSU's own Russell Shepard, who took a screen pass to the house, well, slant to the house last night in that New York Giants game. But I like what Jones was able to do. What do you think, Jordy?
I agree. I was going to say, Russell Shepard, he's been in the league 7 years. Never found his niche at LSU, but and now he's battling those Giants wide receivers. 7 years. Good for Russell Shepard. I thought Kyler Murray looked like he belonged in that offense, as vanilla as it was for Arizona. But you can just tell he has a grasp for it, and that's a good coach in adapting and adjusting to what the quarterback does best. So I think he looked good. Jones looked good. I thought Haskins, despite a couple of interceptions, that kid's got a gun. Holy cow!
Oh, does he?
So anyway, not bad for those newcomers. But tonight, the Saints and the Minnesota Vikings. Is it Super Bowl or bust? Are those your expectations for this club this year?
Jordan, it has to. When you look at the way this roster is built, number one, you know, the same success over the last 13, 14 years has all been, you know, started and stopped with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, right? Drew Brees is 40 years old. You know, he can't play another 4 or 5 years. He just can't, realistically, even though he wanted to. So I think, you know, you just signed Mike Thomas to a big contract. Cam Jordan got a big contract. You got Alvin Kamara, and you got Marshawn Lattimore, who's going to eventually require big contracts. You got a very, very good defense, a Hall of Fame quarterback. You're not going to be able to keep this roster as is very, very long. And I think that right now the Saints have to win now, because if the window of opportunity is going to close very, very shortly. You and I talked about it maybe a couple of weeks ago. You know, you came up on the brink of maybe a Super Bowl championship 2 years in a row. That window doesn't stay open that long. You got to get it done this year. You just got to get it done. This is period, point blank.
Yeah, I'm so with you. But I don't expect Breeze to play. And if he does, it'll be very, very, very limited. They've got to find out who, if any of these quarterbacks, are going to be the heir apparent to when Breeze decides to retire. And you know, Taysom Hill is not going to be Drew Brees, but maybe he's Steve Young, you know, that type of a player.
I don't know, Jordy. I like Taysom Hill. I like him for being the jackknife, you know, the universal knife in the Saints system, right? He can go play anything, but I don't know if he's going to be that guy who's going to be able to lead you to a championship at quarterback. You know, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, was supposed to be the heir apparent. That's why he's here. That's what Sean Payton, you know, is banging on. But I'd like to see what he can do. I also like JT Barrett, but I think that decision has to be made this year. You know, obviously JT Barrett's not on the team anymore, but this decision has to be made this year, because if neither one of these guys are going to be the heir apparent, he's got to be on the roster next year. I mean, he has to. Because it's not even guaranteed that Drew Brees will be on the roster next year. So that's a decision that has to be made this preseason, in my opinion.
I agree, and I think that's why they're going to get a ton of reps. And I don't think we're going to see Drew Brees hardly at all. I hope we don't see Alvin Kamara, and I hope we don't see Michael Thomas. You know, I don't want to see Cam Jordan. We know what they could do. Let them get ready for when it counts.
Yeah, absolutely. Let us see some of these young guys too. You know, you mentioned Michael Thomas. Obviously, Michael Thomas is a stud. He's one of the best receivers in the game right now. But I want to see these other guys play. You're probably not going to see a whole lot of Tay again, but I want to see what Tre'Quan Smith looks like as a number one receiver. I want to see what Kirkwood looks like as a number one receiver. I've been hearing all kind of raves about Butler at receiver. I want to see these guys play, and I want to see how these guys play, getting a lot of reps, being the main target, because, you know, number one, you got to have a solid number two guy. I think Tay again shouldn't be number two, so you want a solid number two guy. And another reason, God forbid anything happens to Mike Thomas or an injury, I'd like to see what these younger guys could do in case they need to step up and play some, you know, some major minutes for the Saints offense. So I'm with you. I'd like to see all these young receivers play.
George Becknell joining us. For so many years we said, look, if the Saints just had a top 15, top 18 defense in the league, they would be spectacular. Are you concerned about the defense, or do you think the defense is one of the top? Let's say, are they in the top 15 this year?
They're absolutely top 15, Jordan. I mean, and when you look at the defense, you know, Sheldon Rankins, if he comes back healthy, you got to add him to Cam Jordan. You got Marcus Davenport on the other side. I like what we got at linebacker. I love Davis. You know, the secondary is going to be one of the best young secondaries in the league. I think the defense is set. You know, obviously, you know what Sean Payton and Drew Brees can do, but all my questions, Jordan, are on the offense. You know what I mean? Because the defense is going to be a top 15, top 10 defense, I would assume, right? Because they're only getting better. They're young. This offense, that's what I'm concerned about. I think Sean Payton and Drew Brees are going to get it together, but there's no Mark Ingram. So you know how Sean Payton does. Is he gonna give the ball to Alvin Kamara 30 times a game, mixing in running passing? I think that might be a little much.
I want to see
how he handles that. You know, I want to see how the wide receivers look, because Michael Thomas to me is the only proven receiver on the team. I want to see what the centers look like, because the Saints did lose Max Unger. You know, I want to see what that line looks like with a different leader. I want to see what Cook looks like at tight end. So there's a lot of question marks on the offensive side of the ball. Now, granted, obviously, I think they're going to get it together, because, after all, you do have two of the best offensive minds to ever be in the NFL, right? But I'd like to see what that looks like. But the defense, in my opinion, the defense is ready, man. I love what Dennis Allen's been able to do, and I love those guys on defense. They're going to be fine.
Okay. Got to get Sheldon. I'm interested with Sheldon Rankins out. I'm interested to see what kind of depth we have on that defensive front early on, and see how good they are, see how much push they get. Secondary, they're going to have to make some cuts with some NFL players in that secondary, and maybe they're able to take somebody and trade him to another team for another player that they need to shore up a position. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, it's so hard to play defense in this league with the way the rules are and all, but, man, they got some talent on that side of the ball. It kind of reminds me a little bit of LSU and the talent they have on their side of the ball. What are your expectations for the Tigers as we're about 24, 25 days out from getting this thing started?
Jordan, my expectations for the Tigers, I feel like these next two seasons are going to be the best two seasons we've seen consecutively in a long time. I feel like year, you know, I'm talking about like back, you know, from Saban days, because I feel like with Les, we couldn't get two consecutive seasons going together, you know, maybe in those early Les years, but as of late, no. So I'm looking at the talent. I'm expecting, I see all these receivers. They move Stephon Sullivan to tight end. You got Randy Moss's son playing tight end. I'm expecting some big numbers from this LSU offense. You know, you're stacked everywhere. The line is going to be better. Joe Burrow has another year in the system. You bring back Elaire Williams. You got John Emery coming back and playing tailback. This offense is going to be explosive. And I think Coach O, Steve Insmanger, and all those guys are going to have the Tigers scoring some points this year. And defensively, man, Dave Aranda's a genius. He didn't lose that much on defense. We got Stingley coming in, who I think is a very, very young but solid corner. I'm expecting big things from this Tiger team, Jordan. I haven't said this in a long time, but if this LSU team makes the playoffs, I will not be surprised, not one bit. I'm fully expecting them to win 10, 11 games this year.
You know, I look at LSU and I say, all right, on paper, boy, they look good. But there's so many unknowns. Justin Jefferson was the only receiver worth a plug nickel a year ago, and they got a lot of newcomers. Yeah, it looks good on paper. Stephon Sullivan goes from wide receiver to tight end. Oh, that looks good on paper, but I hadn't seen anything yet. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's going to be in the forefront, and all these freshman running backs, don't count out Chris Curry, because I think he might be an impactful player this year, but it's all unknown. And until I'm at that time in my life where I believe it when I see it. I need to see it. So we talk about practice, and we talk about on paper, and we talk about what they did in high school, and that's great. But every other team they're playing recruits the same kind of players, and they have the same expectations. So how's that offensive line going to execute? Which of these players is going to live up to his credentials? And when I see it, I'll believe it. But I do believe that Dave Aranda is going to have one of his better defenses since he's been here. Continuity. Yes, they lose Devin White. They lose Greedy Williams. But there's continuity. They get back Kalavon Chase on. They're bigger up front. I think this is going to be one of those defenses that ends up, somewhere from anywhere from 1 to 8 nationally as far as defensive efficiency is concerned. So that's good. I got to see the kicking game. I got to see the kicking game. Everybody talks about it. I haven't seen it yet. So when I see it, I'll believe it. Did you see where my boy Zion made some more money as he signed an exclusive trading card deal with Panini? I thought Panini was like a bread, Panini bread, a restaurant chain or something. What's he doing signing a trading card deal with them?
Man, I don't know, Jordan. I used to collect cards back in the day, man. I never heard of Panini. I could tell you about Upper Deck and FLIR and all that good stuff. And I didn't know kids still collect them, but hey, whatever, Zion, get your money. I'm not mad at him, but I have no idea what Panini is. I'm with you. I thought it was bread. Yeah, man, that's Panini. Nah,
when you go to a football game in Tiger Stadium, what is the one thing that that you would like to see that you think they're failing in as far as a fan experience is concerned? Is there anything?
Nah, Jody, I wouldn't touch it, man. I love Tiger Stadium, man. And especially at night, it's so traditional. The band is playing the same thing on every down. Love when you get off the field and play the Chinese Bandits, I love all that, man. I wouldn't change not a single thing. Like, yeah, you could get more technology, I guess, but I think that takes away from the game. It doesn't need to be a spectacle. It's already special. Leave it alone. What about you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it'd keep it simple. I mean, less is best. I really do believe in that. We'll see. Yeah. Again, you know what improves the fan experience?
What's that?
You play better teams. You get those big
right.
Marquee matchups. That's what makes the fan experience fun, right?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love a win. I love a blowout. But Tiger Stadium in the fourth quarter, is different if LSU's up 30 versus if they're up like 3. You know what I mean? So I'm with you. I love those nail biters as long as we're coming out on top. But yeah, get some better opponents in there, man. Nobody wants to see what was it? Wofford or what was the other school we played a couple of years ago? One of these small schools? I don't know. Nobody wants to see that.
I can tell you. Well, no offense to our friends in Thibodeau, but Nichols is coming to town next year. I mean, come on. I mean, come on.
Like, why? I don't know. LSU has nothing to gain in that situation. If they win the game, so what? You beat Nichols. I mean, don't get me wrong. I guess it's fun for those Nichols kids to play at Tiger Stadium, right? But, I mean, if you pull them out and lose the game, then it's a complete train wreck. Like, what do you – why? Why play that game? I don't know. I don't get it.
All right, list this in order of success. Who's going to have the more successful season? The New Orleans Saints, the LSU Tiger football team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and the LSU Tiger basketball team. Of those four, list them in order. Who do you think is going to have the most success to the least success?
Most success? You know what, Jordan, this might not be a popular opinion. I think the LSU Tiger football team is going to be the most successful team out of that bunch you just named. I just got a feeling about these Tigers this year. They're uber talented.
Who's second?
The Saints have to be second for me. The Saints, you already know what they could do. The only reason why I put the Tigers ahead of them is because I think the Tigers are going to surprise some people. I think the Saints, they've come on a break 2 years in a row. As much as I hate to say it, I think eventually you got to take a step back. Drew Brees is not getting any younger. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I think they'll be a little less successful than the Tigers. Then I like what Coach Wade got going on in LSU basketball. Right. So I'm going to put the basketball Tigers third and the Pelicans, even though the Pelicans are on the upswing, I think they're going to be successful as well. I just think somebody's got to come in last. And you know, it's going to take them maybe a year or two to really develop these guys and gel as a unit. So I'm looking for them to have some long-term success, but maybe not just next year. So I'm going Tiger football, Who Dat Nation, Tiger basketball, and Pelicans.
I am in 100% agreement with you. Are you excited about, and we'll end on this note, they're making a sequel to Top Gun. And I heard the story where, you know, Tom Cruise, that was 30-something years ago, he's in it. Kelly McGillis, who was his love interest in the original, got all upset because she wasn't asked to be in the sequel because she's put on about 50, 60, 70 pounds, and they said, we can't have that. So Tom Cruise keeping himself in shape, Kelly McGillis, not such in shape. Are you looking forward to that sequel?
I mean, Jordan, I've watched that. You know, it seemed like it's going to be a cool movie. You know, I'm not super excited about it, but I've watched it. And, I mean, they're right. You know, you can't be the main love interest in the movie. You picked up 60 pounds. You know, this is a movie.
It's not Hollywood.
You know, like this ain't real life. It's Hollywood. You know, you can't do that.
All right. I'm in. I'm in for the opener of that one. I'm in for the next, whenever the next James Bond movie comes in. That's my kind of role, big guy. All right, Saints-Vikings, who you got tonight?
I mean, of course I'm going to pick the Saints, but I'm expecting a big night out of Taysom Hill, man.
I'm with you. We're in way too much agreement today. Have a great weekend, by George, and thank you, my friend. A little diss and a little dat with my buddy. Take care. And we'll be back to wrap things up Friday, the weekend is almost here. The Jordy Helper Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers, and it's right here on The Jordy Helper Show on 1037 The Game.
Day. August 9th, the year 1988. Never say never, because the Edmonton Oilers did what nobody thought they would ever do. They traded hockey legend Wayne Gretzky to the Los Angeles Kings. The great one. Wow. Traded. Nobody ever, ever thought that would ever happen. But it did on this day, August 9th, the year 1988. If today is your birthday, August the 9th, well, from everyone at 103.7 The Game and everyone under the Delta Media umbrella, we wish you the best day ever. You share it with happy 52nd birthday. Prime time. Prime time. Deion Sanders, terrific actor, is now 75 years old, still working. Sam Elliott. Remember Roadhouse? Amongst many, 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 many others. From LSU lore, maybe the biggest bust in NFL history. Happy birthday. Where are you now? Jamarcus Russell. And we loved him. Went to, from New Orleans, John Curtis. Went to LSU. Now he's with the Dirty Birds of Atlanta. I'm sorry, but got to wish him a happy birthday to Duke Riley. Duke Riley. All right. So, special thanks to our guest, Jeff Duncan of The Athletics, Sonny Ship, Go247 Sports, George Faust, KLFY, Verge Osbury of LSU, George Becknell, CD, the producer of all-time producers, and you for listening in. Thanks to our partners that make it possible each and every day. We could not do it without you. Man, I hope you have a great rest of your Friday and even better weekend. And come on back Monday, same time, 2 to 4. Same great station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. We'll recap it all. Until then, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.